to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 720. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I, too, think that Donald Trump would make an excellent pope.
We'll circle back to that. Earl is here.
All I can say is, as far as I know, in the past 3 hours, we have not been purchased by any entity that kills us down. So I'm taking that as a net positive for today.
If we got purchased by an entity, I think we would all take the money and run.
Yeah.
Like, no, let's buy the Perfectly Sane Show for $10 million. Okay.
Right. I mean, it hasn't cost us nearly that much to run the site over 15 years, but we'll get into that as well. Let's put a pin in that. Jeff is here also.
No.
Jeff's like, what the fuck are y'all talking about?
Speaking of people who'd make an excellent pope, Jeff.
Yeah, I'm benevolent.
I'd vote for Jeff for pope. We're not allowed to vote. We're not cardinals, but. Yeah. So, shit went down this week. a lot of stuff, actually, today in the games industry.
All the things.
Yeah, we will get to that momentarily. But yeah, the president evidently thinks he can be pope. I don't know.
If
he becomes pope, would he not be president? Like, is that?
This is why I support his candidacy.
I'll take it.
I'm kind of on board. Like,
I mean, the downside, of course, is Greg, you should be Catholic to be the pope.
I mean, yes, but if they're willing to take him off our hands, as a non-practicing Catholic, I'm on board. and did you guys catch his interview where he clearly didn't know what was in the Declaration of Independence? That was going around today. I guess he did an interview with ABC just recently over the last 2 days or so. And at one point, he's like kind of pointing out artwork in the Oval Office, and he has brought the Declaration of Independence into the Oval Office. Now, I don't know if it's the one that we like actually keep safeguarded in the archives, or if it's the one that was on display in DC, because that's not... Like, the one you go see in D.C. is not it. Like, that's not the real one.
Yeah, it's because, I mean, it's almost 300-year-old paper.
Right. Like, they keep that one in, like, a nice, secure place to keep it all, you know, safe and stuff. But he has, he requested one. It is on his wall. And the interviewer, you know, when Trump pointed up to it, the interviewer was like, well, what does that mean to you? He's like, well, it's exactly what it says it is. It's a declaration of love and unity. that's not what it is.
No, it's the opposite of unity. It's
right. it's in the name. It's the Declaration of Independence. What are we doing, people? Yeah,
I didn't see that, but I did see where he thought that these like MS-13 tattoos that were like photoshopped on a picture. He thought they were real.
Yeah,
he got mad at the journalist, like the interviewer, for being like, no, those are photoshopped. And he's like, no, you didn't see them? They're on there. Like,
and they're clear. So like, I was like trying to figure out like who thought that like we could just Photoshop, because it looks photoshopped. That just looks like some
tattoo. Yeah.
It doesn't even look Photoshop, because Photoshop would imply a certain level of quality.
Right. Yeah. This just looks like somebody took like a Microsoft Paint and put some letters on top of an image.
They doped it on his fist.
Yeah. And like, so I'm like looking at him like, why would anybody even believe outside of him? Why would anybody buy this? And I'm like, I don't think they were meant to. It's meant to signify, like, they're trying to say like the M is for whatever the image.
Yeah, that's what the journalist was trying to tell him.
Yeah.
And he was like, no, you didn't see? Like, you didn't see the fuck? He's like, dude, it was.
Problem, but I don't think the journalist should be trying to tell him that.
I know, but like, it was. He was like, he's like, yeah, everyone knows it was just like they overlaid it to like try to make a point. And like, right. Trump was like, no, you didn't see this. MS-13, yes. It's like, oh my God, dude.
We're in a fucking nightmare. So yeah, politics continues to happen in this country, and it continues to be an absolute shit show. So I don't know if you guys have anything more to add to that. But.
Not really.
I was just so envious of Canada. And Canada's like, yeah, you don't have to elect idiots. Granted, they're doing that because we elected an idiot. And like, whoa. We don't want that here.
That was like, he has become so kind of hated that he's now losing international elections. Like, he's trying to like poke himself into international elections, and he's losing there as well. So yeah, everything's going great here in America, guys. So great that Xbox was like, "Hey guys, what if we raise prices by like $100
on a system I bought 5 years ago?" For $100 less.
This is it's the first generation where the prices have increased.
Yeah. And I mean, the odd thing is, this is we can kind of have something to, but it's not, like, to your point, it's not the first time that PlayStation has increased several times this generation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's.
It's wild. That's significant.
Yes.
500 to 600, like 600, I'm like in the zone of I'm buying a TV or something. Like, I don't know. It's a little.
And 600 is for the base model, right? Or
the series? No, for the Series X. But
one terabyte.
What you would buy if you were buying an Xbox?
The 2 terabyte is 730. Then there's one that's over 700.
Yes, the 2 terabyte is 730. So the one that I just replaced. Which I got for $500.
That's the first thing I thought of. That's the first thing I thought of is like, first thing I thought was, oh shit, what if mine breaks? And then I thought of you. And I was like, man, yours kind of crapped out at the optimal time if it was going to, you know?
I mean, yeah, if it had crapped out this week, like, I would have been screwed. Like,
yeah.
But an extra $100 to get a replacement. Yeah. So it wasn't just that. Earl, do you have the. You put up a price list earlier.
Yes, let me see if I can pull it up. Because somebody had the comparison of the different prices. And it's not just I assume what you were saying, it's not just the console that's gone up. It's also the accessories.
Yeah, everything's gone up.
Which I think is what Nintendo tried to alleviate with because they increased the price.
Yeah, Nintendo did the price increase on all their accessories.
Which I think Microsoft was doing as well, but yeah.
Yes, that's what, and then they're also doing like, oh, some games by the end of the year will be $80. So the wires.
Still free for us, right?
The wires controller went up from 80 to 90. First party, yeah. The controller went from 140 to 150. And the Elite Wireless Series 2 went from 180 to 200. And the wireless headset went from, 110 to 120?
Yep.
Though, granted, I mean, maybe I don't think I've bought an Xbox headset since the 360, and I don't think that was bought, that came with the system.
Because you can buy any headset now. Like,
yeah,
You used to have the one that, like.
It's connected, like, yeah. That, I forgot about that. The one where you needed like the little earpiece. I mean, not little. Yep. Yeah,
it's like a little dongle that like plugged into the 360 or Xbox One controller. And it had like the volume buttons and stuff on it. And yeah, as you said, games. Some games will be priced at $80 come this fall. I think that's just. Do you guys think that I think GTA 6 comes in at minimum $80. Do we think it goes higher than that? Or
I've seen everyone saying like 100.
I'm probably gonna be wrong. I think it comes in at 80. I think everybody else is doing 80, and I think because 80 would still be an increase for them. Mm-hmm. I think you come in at 80 just because that's what's expected right now. And it's sad to say expected right now. But yeah, it's just what you do. So yeah, I don't know what to make of it. I'm very curious to see. Yeah, I'm just curious to see what games they actually are.
Right. I mean, we know for Nintendo, it's Mario Kart World.
Yeah.
And then I guess we don't know if there's anything else.
What is DK? Is it 60 or
70?
70.
So here's a question for you. What is your appetite for an $80 game?
I mean, to be fair, I didn't have an appetite for $70 games. Mm. So yeah, I didn't buy $70 games. I'm not going to buy $80 games. I mean, one of the reasons I jumped on the Mario Kart bundle was it does make the game $50. And I think, like I said on the skies this week, it's just going to be a lot more of me finding, you know, like those discounted digital coupons and stuff like that. I mean, I just canceled Game Pass today because it's set to renew on Saturday, so I'm like, I cancel it, and then I'll because it doesn't do 1-to-1 anymore. Is it still 3-to-2 or is it 2-to-1? I don't know, so I want to do my research on that. But
and Jeff, where do you stand on $80 games? Like, I'm sure something's going to come along, and we're going to be like, yeah, I got to play that immediately. But
I mean, I guess that's my thing, and then we get into this whenever we do what's today. I don't have an immediacy thing anymore. There's very few games where I'm like, I need to pay this week one.
Yeah.
I buy so few games now because of Game Pass that, like, if there's a game I want to play and it's $80, I guess. You know what I mean? Like, if that's what it is, like, I'm trying to think of, like, an example. Game Pass goes
up. I mean, GTA 6 is the only one I can think of that I'd be like, yeah, maybe I would spend $80 on that to start. I'm not feeling it, but maybe.
So I'm
could also wait a little bit and get it for, you know.
I could, but I always, like, anytime I buy a game now, I'm just like, well, you didn't have to buy this, you didn't have to buy this, you didn't have to buy this. I think about back in the day, like, I would have to bought all those games. It's like, whatever. I usually don't give into like the early access side of it, which I know some people succumb to, where, you know, you get like 3 days early.
But like, Starfield, you get five days early if you
bought
Super Deluxe version or whatever.
I'm usually pretty good about that.
Never do that.
I mean, Starfield.
But I only did Starfield because I was playing it on Game Pass, and the early access was also included the expansion. So it was like, I'm basically just prepaying for the expansion and I get to play 5 days early, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But like South of Midnight, I think had like a early access and it was like, I'm not paying $10 extra. Like, you don't get anything with it except for the early access.
Yeah.
If you get something, maybe I'm on board, but otherwise, no.
Anyways, I don't usually do that, but like, yeah, if there was a game I wanted to play, I mean, don't tell anybody, but if there's a game I wanted to play and it was $80, I would buy it just because I have to buy so few games these days that I don't really give a shit. It's just like, okay, I buy 3 $80 games a year and the rest of them are fucking included with Game Pass. Like, I don't know.
Tony, where's your appetite for $80 games? I mean, also, you sometimes have to buy more than one copy
of the same game. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, if the game is awesome, I'd probably play $80 for it. Like, if you told me the new GTA coming out this fall was $80, Well, I would show up $80.
Most certainly will be $80. I'm with Chris.
Yeah,
so at least 80.
Minimum, right?
Yeah. Chris said 80 minimum. I see so many people saying 100, and I would not be surprised. I would be surprised.
But I think people were saying 100, oddly enough, before things became 80, because I think they were.
Yeah.
But now that I think 80's kind of becoming the default, I could see them going with 80.
Yeah, I could see that too, but I don't think it'll be less than 80. I'd be surprised.
I don't think it'll be
like
less than 80.
The default high number, right? Because, like, you know, Microsoft and Nintendo are still going to be releasing things at 70 or sometimes at 60. Like, I think Clair Obscur, which isn't a Microsoft game, but it's through Game Pass. That was, what, 50, I think? South of Midnight was... So I guess, like, depending upon how big it is, the price will vary. But, I don't know. Like, I can't see myself paying $80 for, like, Madden.
Well, I wouldn't pay $60 for Madden, right. So... Your thing, but, I don't know. If you told me Donkey Kong was $80, I would buy that shit day one. Like, I hate to admit that. I don't want... These companies know that, but I would, because I fucking want to play Donkey Kong.
The thing with Donkey Kong, too, and Earl's brought this up, is Nintendo games rarely ever go on sale. So,
yeah.
If Nintendo's like, it's an $80 game, well, you know, like, in, you know, what, Breath of the Wild is, what, 7 years old now?
Like, I can wait like 8 months to get it for $62 on a digital sale. Like, it's just, you know.
Right, maybe.
Yeah, it's not, you might as well just buy it.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Assassin's Creed, if they are like, oh, you know, Assassin's Creed Red is.
Yeah, of course.
Going to be $80. It's like, all right, well, either I buy Ubisoft Plus, Tony. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Either get that for a month or two, or I wait a few months because Ubisoft puts their shit on sale pretty quickly.
Right.
Yeah.
It's gonna be a wild time for pricing. I wonder where things are gonna play out here. Like, Microsoft wasn't selling consoles really at $500. Are they gonna sell?
No,
all the same amount.
We're heading to a recession. Recession. That's what's happening.
Well, fortunately, I got my purchases in already. kind of locked in for them. So
I just hope my old Xbox doesn't break. Because goddamn it.
Well, I guess that's the other question. Like, is it just more likely that if something breaks, you just I'm good for a bit until. Because, I haven't had to do it since the 360, really. But I've upgraded my Xbox One. Because what was it? It was the 1S?
Went to the 1S, yeah.
1X,
or,
yeah.
1X.
Yeah. And I upgraded my Switch to the OLED. But now I'm like, I think if I get a console, if I'm dropping $500, this thing's going to be a diaper.
I will say, if my Xbox had died today, I don't know. Like, I would not jump right back. Like, I did jump at it because I was like, oh, the tariff's going to fuck with prices, so let me get it at 500. But, you know, I got my new laptop. I've been playing a lot more stuff there. And it's still, like, Xbox stuff. So it's like, if my Xbox were to die today, I'm like, I can wait a little bit.
I would
have that in the PlayStation.
I would be running to the store. My Xbox is essential.
But it's your primary machine, too.
Right? Yes, so, for everything. Like, not just, you know, it's for everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
I was just curious because a lot of conversation around this now is basically, not just this, I should say. I think it's come up a lot recently. It's just people being priced out of hobbies. You know, movie theaters aren't getting cheaper. Video games aren't getting cheaper.
Right.
Comic books are their own thing. Board games
also not getting cheaper.
Yeah, board games are about to become a thing because a lot of those minis and pieces are manufactured in China, and there's not enough capacity for you to kind of bulk purchase board games as you wish other things. So, yeah, a lot of industries are struggling. I mean, the same thing with Rustin. I mean, I was looking at tickets for SummerSlam, and the cheapest one's like $200. Like, what family is going to be able to take their kids to that?
Yeah. I'm wondering, because, like, you saw it this week. I mean, Beyonce just started her tour, and I think the second night of her tour, like, there were still half the tickets open. So I don't know if some of that's, like, scalpers bought them up and then weren't able to sell them at their astronomical prices, or if people were already starting to pull back on some of that stuff.
I'll go on.
The weekend's coming to Philly again, and like
the weekend comes every weekend.
the musical artist, the weekend, it's coming to Philly for 2 days in July. And when he came 3 years ago, like, those tickets were gobbled up for the link. We're 2 months out from the show now, and there's still tickets on sale. So
yeah, and I think that happens a lot because I think, again, kind of like with video games, people are, I can wait, because if it's not, I can miss out, but day of and stuff, you can probably get cheaper. So a lot of it is scalpers buying stuff. And I don't think it's helped. I don't know if everybody does it. That stupid Ticketmaster, Jeff Sabu, ticket where it goes up.
What is that called?
I forget what it's actually called, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, where the pricing is dependent upon demand.
Yes, but only in one direction.
Yes, it's only ever up. It's never. Oh, nobody's buying these. We're gonna sell them for $25. Well, that's the price increasing, and then also Games Media is dead. Just FYI,
it's dead.
I mean, all media is dead, right? It's all dead.
This I did not catch. So Earl made a comment when I asked if he was good to go tonight. And he said it at the beginning of the show too. Just in case we don't get sold out or bought up before the show starts. Polygon was sold. I don't know if it was sold yesterday or today.
I think it was today. The news came out this morning. Yes.
Yeah, so they were sold to Thane Media, I think. Basically to a content mill that has been buying. They bought up like Screen Rant and a bunch of other like entertainment sites. They bought Polygon, laid off 80-90% of the staff.
Jeez.
Yeah, like Chris Plant's gone. All of their like senior staff are gone, except for like maybe Maddie Myers and like one or two other people. Everybody eliminated from that site. So Polygon's essentially dead. I mean, I don't. If you get rid of all their good writers, like, what's left?
Well, yeah, because I saw somebody point this out, and I think it's true. Because Polygon isn't what am I trying to say? It's not what you think. The brand isn't Polygon. The brand's always been kind of their quality of writing. Yeah. It's not personality driven like some other ones, but it has been the quality, and you lose that, you lose the trust. So you're just buying a brand that doesn't mean anything to anybody. And for what? I don't know.
You just ride off of that until people realize it's not what it was. You know what I mean? Like, it is, like, people all know what Polygon is.
But the people who know what Polygon are the people who know what's happening.
Yeah, maybe. But, yeah. Like, you know, it's big enough that, like, you know, people hear that, like, oh, that's a website. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's just like they're buying a brand and they give a fuck what they're doing with it. I don't know. What else are they doing? Like, you're firing everybody.
I mean. Like, it's like, I feel like the brand isn't strong enough on its own. Like, how often do you go to Polygon?
I'll go with any fucking
sites anymore. It comes up in search engines a lot.
It does. I feel
like. Polygon is, like, that's the site that I go to for news, or did go to for news before today. But that's just because, like, I trusted the staff there. I trusted the writers there. They actually have good reporters, or had good reporters. In recent years, it's been less. Like, they've moved on to more, like, guide writing and stuff.
And I think that's what a lot of people... The problem is everybody wants to do that, because, I mean, the other story will also get into that, is, mm-hmm. but if everybody's writing a guide, why do we need 20 websites on... And I will also say, as somebody who sometimes, you know, like, guides on these sites, and I mean, I'd say that, but the way they're written are so awful, because it will be an article for every little thing. Oh, you're missing this. No, just give me one giant guide. I don't need a Google search for every particular area in the game.
But that's how they drive traffic, right? It's like, oh, like, so... I was looking up something, and I typed in, you know, whatever the keyword search was, and I think gamer.com is one that does a lot of guide writing, and if you click on it, and it is like, it brings you to that, it's just that piece, and then there's like links at the bottom that'll bring you to the rest of the guide, but they're all separate. Like, you have to kind of like click through it. It's not just one big guide. Because they're trying to like generate the clicks to get the ad revenue, and a lot of these sites are just riddled with ads too.
And then it also becomes the same thing that a lot of people criticize cooking websites for, where it's just a lot of fluff text, because to answer your question, it could probably fit in a text message, but they need some way for like the website. So it's like, oh, you know, the Legend of Zelda's Echo of Wisdom is the latest adventure in the Legend of Zelda franchise, and it stars Zelda, and okay, so you wanted to know how to like start the game. That will come in paragraph 4.
Yeah, so they were bought by Valnet. Valnet owns Game Rant, DualShockers, Screen Rant.
Oh, DualShockers is a name I've not heard in that
time. Collider, CBR, Movie Web, How to Geek. They also own Open Critic, which I did not know. I mean, Open Critic is just a just an aggregate score site, but I didn't realize that they also had gotten their hooks into them. Yeah, so it seems like the end of, at least for Polygon, the end.
I kind of feel like with games media in particular, like, it doesn't take much for another site to just rise.
Yeah.
No, yes, because, I mean, from the show of everything, things rise. I mean, it's kind of how you got, like, WayForward, Nexander.
Remap came out of Waypoint. Nexlander came out of the old Giant Bomb. Before, which we'll talk about New Giant Bomb. Nexlander came out of that, yeah. Afterclick or something came out of the old Escapist. Aftermath is the one that came out of the Escapist. Yeah, so guess if you use Polygon like I did, you'll need to find yourself a new news site, but...
I mean, probably Game Informer's back, so you got that.
Yeah, yeah. Not tied to Game
Boss. I mean, I think that's the other thing, is I think a lot of people are probably going to have to start going straight to consumer, but the problem is consumers need money. Because, you know, there's always some, like, I recently got really into Kind of Funny. I think because they are, I mean, it's a video game site. It's not even a site, really. They don't do news and stuff. They're mostly just like videos, but they are a multimedia, and so they do movies, they do TV shows, they do video games, and so they got that going for them.
And yeah, they're personality driven, you know, with Greg Miller as kind of their head there. So
yes.
I guess the other one here, and this one, this is a personality driven website. Giant Bomb has kind of been put on hold.
That's the nicest way to put it.
Yeah. So it seems like Dan Reichert, who was their creative director after Jeff Gerstmann left 2 years ago. Yeah, Gerstmann's been gone for 2 years.
I know he's been gone. I didn't know if he left or if it was like one of those.
I think it was he was kind of told to leave.
It's kind of similar to Dan, and basically it seems like it came out that they wanted them to pivot from video, which is a very weird thing to say to Giant Bomb, because I feel like they were one of the first people I remember starting the whole video. Like, their quick jokes have gotten me to buy so many video games. And it's just a simple concept of like, hey, watch us play this game for half an hour. But yeah.
So Dan is gone. Jeff Grubb, who was kind of their news guru, he is also gone. And Mike Mignotta, who's good friends with Dan Reichert,
and I think
also good, gone from there.
I think really good friends with Grubb, because I think they did Game Mess together.
Mm.
So yeah, it's basically the people know are gone. And part of it was they wanted them to pivot from video, but also they wanted them to be more of a guide writing site, which, again, because I think they own, because they, Fandom.
Fanatical owns them, yeah.
And I think they own, like, the wiki.
Yep. Yeah, just about any wiki, like, if you go, like.
Any wiki that's not actually wiki.
Of Zelda wiki. Yeah, so if you go to like Zelda, Fandom is who owns them. If you go to zelda.fandom.com or you just type in Zelda Wiki, the second one in that's not Wikipedia, the Zelda Wiki is run by Fandom. That is who owns Giant Bomb. They own a bunch of sites. I believe they also own Game.
They own GameSpot as well.
Yeah. I keep getting mixed up. I always that. GameStop. I have to think about it a second. So that's a mess. And I think that's kind of one Giant Bomb, as you said, Earl, is very personality driven. You know, what made them big was their podcasts and their videos, their quick looks, their streams on Fridays and
multi-day, multi-hour Game of the Year deliberations. Like those again, yeah. Spectacles on their own.
I mean, that is what ours were modeled after kind of what they put through, when we started 15 years ago. So, it's a mess. I stopped paying any attention to Giant Bomb when Gerstmann left. And really, I think this site probably died the year before that, when Vinny Caravella, Brad Shoemaker, and Alex left the site. They, being three of the five founding members of the original site. So there's no original members left, and even the second kind of tier, like Reichert, Grubb, those guys are now gone. It doesn't sound great for Giant Bomb either.
And again, all it is coming out the same day. And again, this is one half of the industry. The other half was not doing much better this week.
Yeah, so those were the three things I caught, Earl. Anything else that I missed from today?
Did you do the EA one?
Oh, no. So that was yesterday, right?
Yeah.
So EA, they canceled a new Titanfall game, which, hearing what it was.
Oh, God.
That sounds fine. So it was going to be an extraction shooter.
My two favorite parts about that, there's nothing positive, is one, somebody's like, EA should put out a collection of canceled Titanfall games. Because it's been
gotta be at least five at this point. Like they canceled a Titanfall card game. They canceled the original Titanfall 3. They've killed and you know Apex is technically in the Titanfall universe.
Yeah.
They canceled an Apex game from there. This new Titanfall game, and I think there's a fifth one somewhere in there that they've also killed. So in the midst of that, though, they are also laying off a ton of people. Multi-hundred, I believe.
Yeah, I think that was... The numbers were weird, because I think it came out... I think it was stories where I think the story about Respawn came out, and then people said they were laying off 300-400 people. But everybody's like, I don't think there's that many people in Respawn. And then like it was, oh, they're laying off a bunch of people from just EA across the board.
Yes.
So yeah, not a great time. Not a great time.
They said FC 25, which is their soccer game, failed to meet their expectations again this year.
I don't know how that means. You know, it's one of those things again where it sucks that everybody else has to pay for somebody else's hubris. Because you could have just paid people for their license, and you wouldn't have these headaches.
Yeah, and maybe it's just like outside of the fact that the license isn't there, so that probably does draw some people off of it. But are people buying as much? It's Ultimate Team, right? Is their thing? Like, are people buying as much FIFA Ultimate Team or Madden Ultimate Team as they were in the past? Like, people might not have as much disposable income for that type of shit anymore.
That also came out this week. I haven't got a chance to get it yet. I've heard a lot of feedback. Alana Pierre from, I want to say Kotaku, or she used to be, I think, she put out a video this week, like, what's the problem with the gaming industry? And a lot of it came out that basically during the pandemic, it was just like this hot, hot, hot thing where it was growing, it was booming, so a bunch of people were putting money into it. And the growth kind of plateaued, and you're still making money. You're just not growing the amount of money you're making. And that seems to be where a lot of the investment has dried up now, is because people want that return on investment that keeps on going up and not just like, we're making money. We're making this like predictable money. We give you 50 cents, you make a buck. No. We give you 50 cents. You want us to make you a buck this year, $1.25 next year, $1.50 in 2 years. And that's not happening anymore because the height of the pandemic, people were inside. They needed something to do. They're not doing that anymore.
So, layoffs at EA, 300, 400 positions being let go there. Did I miss anything, Earl? Any other news?
I think those are the ones that come to mind. I will peruse to see if anything catches the eye. Oh, I mean, I guess it's news-ish. Borderlands got pushed up a couple of weeks.
Oh, yeah. That's a up. New one.
Yeah, it got pushed
up. I guess that happens occasionally, but...
Yes, and Brandy Pitchford made a big deal about it. But, you know, the speculation, a lot of people were like, oh, maybe they're trying to get out of the way of another game they just heard about. Because I think everybody's just, you know, GTA 6 is coming. And I think anybody's just looking for any hint that it's still expected to hit this year. I mean, we'll hear something about it sooner, I guess.
I have a feeling we're going to hear about it maybe in the next month and a half. I think by mid-June, we're going to know when GTA 6 is coming out.
Is Jeff Keighley going to tell us?
Probably.
Might.
I don't think so. Because like, even when E3 was at its peak, GTA had it with its own thing. Like, I don't remember the last time GTA or Rockstar in general was like an E3 thing, because even Red Dead was like its own showcase, because it's big enough to do that. Like, I think there are a handful of games that can, or franchises, and GTA is definitely one of them. This is game related, game adjacent. I mean, it's game related because it comes from video games, but it has longer ramifications, which is, I think ages ago, we talked about the Apple versus Epic lawsuit, how that went out. I guess the judge offered remedial, whatever, this week, because Apple had kind of ignored their first thing. So now it's Apple can't force apps to have in-app purchases go to the App Store, and they can no longer take a cut from people buying something in-app from another storefront. So, one, I guess Fortnite's coming back to Apple devices next week, but I think Epic is also trying to launch an App Store on the Apple devices. So that, again, that's going to, that is very much an Epic thing, but it does seem like it will also have ramifications for other vendors and developers who can now, and I when I say developers in this term, app developers, who can now go into external stores and kind of bypass that 30% Apple takes.
So Fortnite's coming back to iPhone.
Yes. Or iOS devices, I assume iPads as well.
Oh yeah, yeah. So you put it on iPad and play with the controller.
Yeah.
Well, that's exciting, I guess.
Yeah, it's one of those, you know, like too big, but somebody had to do it. And I do think it's fair. I think it's weird to just have a blanket. We control the store. You can't do anything about it. Policy. So yeah.
All right. Well, I guess get ready for Fortnite back on iOS.
Woohoo! If
you're waiting on it.
Changes everything.
Right. Yeah, so that's the news. None of it seems really cheerful, like the rest of the world. But we have played some games. Well, I know I've played some stuff. I know Jeff has as well, because we've been talking about it all week. We've continued to play Claire Obscura. I keep wanting to call it Claire Obscura. But Claire Obscura Expedition 33. Jeff is much further ahead of me.
Maybe really?
Maybe not much further, but I think you're like three zones up on me now.
You're in Act 2 though, right?
I'm in Act 2, yeah.
Same. Struggling.
So I just got the final party member.
Yeah, okay.
He's a Monoko. He's a gestural. So he's one of the paintbrush hair dudes. And he has an interesting combat system. But yeah, Jeff, so you've continued on with it. You've sent me a couple texts over the past week where you're like, I think I'm at my point. I think this might be it. And then, like, 20 minutes later, you're like, nope, I got it. I'm good.
Well, no, there was really one point. I got to a boss in Act 2 where he had, like, these three giant masks behind him, and you could not attack them. So it wasn't, like, kill his minions so that, like, they can't help him. Like, you couldn't do anything to these masks. And every other turn, one of the masks would heal him for 10,000 XP or HP. And I was just like, well, this is unwinnable. Like, I fought him for like an hour and he still had like 70% of his health and I was all fucking depleted. But it turns out that like the level has a bunch of different paths. And when you go down these different paths, you get to fight a mask boss, and if you kill all those mask bosses, well, they're not behind the boss at the end of the fucking level. Oh. Like, so, yeah.
Problem solved.
Yeah, yeah. So it was just me, literally, I had made a mistake that I kind of did the Dark Souls or Elden Ring thing where I was just like trying to run through a level because I didn't want to fight any of these enemies, and missed the whole level. But I will say this, like I have pretty much nothing but praise for this game. I love it. I think it's a great, great game. But where I'm at this point in Act 2, I'm not really enjoying the combat. And that's like my favorite thing about the game. To the point where I just like backed out of this level I'm in. I'm just like, I'm going to go grind. And that's because the common enemies even in the, like, so on that island I fucked up on where I like kind of skipped through the whole level, all the enemies like stack themselves with shields every turn. You're just like, well, I'm like wasting all my time trying to break through shields, or wasting all my moves basically to break through shields, and have nothing left. And that kind of sucked. And then I got to this other island that I'm at now, and every like there are literally common enemies. So just like the people you can run into in a counter, they fucking like will dodge every attack that you do. Like literally, like they'll dodge like 95% of the attacks you do. And the only way to hurt them is by getting a parry. And it's just like, well, I don't love this. Like, so I'm at a point of frustration with the game, but I do love playing it so much that I just backed out and I'm just like roaming around the big overworld map and just like fucking around now and just getting into like easier battles. Cause I think the battles are great, but it's like that, man, they're leading so, I think that I'm maybe near the end of the game more than I think. And it's just insanity. But yeah, I don't know. I really love the game. What, like, what, has everyone here played it or no?
I have not.
I started it. Okay. I don't know. I'm somewhere in the middle of Act One. I don't know how much of it I will play. I will say the game. I think you guys both said this. It starts out so slow. I just wanted to die in that first
life. Yeah, it gets really great, though. Like, honestly, like I don't know where you are in it, but, like, have you gotten to, like, the floating waters area?
Floating waters? It's like probably this. Not.
So, no, you would know.
It's like the second main area, and it's, like, everything in it. You're just walking around, but everything in it kind of, like, it seems like you're walking through a fish tank. Like visually, like there's fish flying above your head, and all the stuff on the ground is like coral and sea plants and stuff. But you're still just like walking through it like normal.
I would just say from like there through at least Ancient Sanctuary, which is like an area or two past that. Like, boy, that game like really hits its stride, and so like I hope you at least play through Act One because like. The areas come so visually like awesome, and the music keeps getting better, and the battles keep getting better. So like, there's a stretch through Act One where I was just like, "This is one of the best games I've ever played," and I still like even now I'm like, I really like it a lot, but like, I just don't love the part I'm stuck at because I'm just like, this seems so unfair and so stacked against you. And I did make some mistakes with building my party and whatnot, so like. I should correct that, but it's just like I'm just going back out and grinding so I can feel a little more powerful. But other than that, like I just think this game is such a must play, and you know, my opinion really hasn't changed on it.
There's so many like systems too that just aren't explained. So like we talked a little bit about it last week. There are these you have like these three slots that allow you to equip like passive skills.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was fucking up a lot.
And then if you like utilize if you have it equipped for four battles, then you learn the skill or master the skill. And then that skill can actually be utilized by anybody. But they don't tell you how to do it. Like you just kind of have to fuck around in the menu and eventually like you'll hit on something. And there's a sub-currency called Lumos. Yeah. And these skills, you can buy them. Like, so if you want, you know, one of your characters to utilize, like, Loon, the mage lady, if you want her to kind of, like, utilize some of these, you can kind of go through any of the ones that you've already mastered, and you can buy them for that amount, and then they become kind of equipped on her passively. So you want to, like, be you want to find as many of these Luminos as you can, or buy them from any of the vendors, because you want to be putting as many of those things on there. So, like, you can, you could, like, equip so you have first attack all the time. You don't have to do the outside world attack.
Or you have you start with an extra action point. That's a huge one. Like, you could pull off a 5 action point move right away instead of, like, a 4 or 3. Like, anyways. But.
Yep. They don't explain any of that shit.
I did not engage with that until way too late. Like, I was, like, putting Pictos on, Chris.
Yeah, that's what I was
doing. And then when they became learned, I would move them over to the right side of my character. And then, you know, I was like, oh, those are my Luminas. And then I would put new ones on the left side where the Pictos were. But what I did not realize, one, you could, like, once they become a Lumina, anyone could use it. But way more importantly, I did not realize that, like, you can equip more and more Luminas as you go. And that you could spend points to increase how many Luminas you're carrying. So, like, I was going in the battles with, like, only one or two, like, or, you know, only a handful of buffs when I could have had, like, 20 buffs happening on me. Yeah. And I'm still playing catch-up on that because I just did not realize that I was playing it wrong at first. But, like, even still, I'm just, like, I don't know, like, where I'm at in the game. Like, what other Lumina do I have? Or Pictos that I have that would, like, get me through this. And I'm like, I don't know. I must have missed some really good ones. Because Sean is crushing it. Like, Sean is, like, killing this game. And meanwhile, like, I kind of stalled out, like, last night. I was like, God damn, dude. Like, every little skirmish I get in, I'm like, this sucks. So I'm just going back out and fucking around.
My guess is Sean is probably playing it more as an advertiser. More closely to how I play JRPGs, which is we're probably over leveling.
Yeah.
Earlier on, so like I kind of looked at what level is your highest character at right now, Jeff?
Honestly, I don't know offhand. Like I don't know. So I was somewhere around.
I was looking at your achievements, and, like, there's an achievement for hitting level 33. Also for 66 and 99, but, like, I didn't see you pop that one yet.
I don't think I have, no.
And, like, so, but my guys, like, and I'm 2 or 3 zones behind
you. I'm
37 or 38. Like,
so what I need to do, like, what I am doing right now is I'm kind of, like, going to backtrack that way, which also really sucks because, like, if I could just have normal fast travel on a map in the game, like, that's my other huge complaint with this game is, like, the lack of a map is, like, really grating on me at times. Like, or, like, I just can't, like, go, I want to go back to this zone. Like, you could fast travel between flags within a level, but I don't think you could do much beyond that.
I think you can fast, so I believe you can, like, from a flag, you can fast travel to previous areas. But it's, like,
to another area. Oh, but you can go to another area?
Yeah, I haven't used it, but, like, the first time I saw it, I was in...
I did see something say back to continent, and I thought, like, is that it? But, like,
So, like, one would bring me back to whatever the zone, the first zone before floating waters. Like, it gave me the option to go there. And
I was
like,
okay, because if I could go between zones, that's fine, because, like, the thing is, if you're in a flag in the middle of the level, it's like, all right, if I want to get to another area of the map, like, the actual map... I don't know which way to go through this level because it doesn't give me fucking anything. Like, a compass, a map, a fucking line, nothing. And so it's just like, it's easy to get lost in levels. Like,
you do have the map, right? Well, not in the level, right? In the on the open
world. That's what I'm saying, though. If you want to get out of a level to go back to the map, it's just like, I have no idea.
You have to kind of just wander around until you find the shimmering exit. Yeah. I do wish that, like, you know, like in Resident Evil or Silent Hill, like when you hit a zone, it's like, all right, I find, and it's you normally have to find it, but it's normally pretty early in a level, and it's normally pretty easy to find, like, the map of the area. Like,
yeah,
you go in Resident Evil 2, and, like, you know, if you search around, there'll be, like, a map of the police station. Or, you know, Silent Hill will be like, here's the map of the waterfront. Like, that would be nice if you're like, all right, map of floating waters, and you just...
Like, yeah, I was bitching about this to Sean, and he was like, I don't know, I like that it doesn't have any of this stuff, because I like the exploration, and I was like, to me, like, one of the things I love, well, one of the things I love about exploration is a map. Like, that's, yeah. I like looking at a map and going, did I explore this area? Or, you know what I mean? Like, that's part of it for me.
The thing they could also do, because, like, there's a, you know, a bunch of JRPGs that do this as well. As you explore, like, the map forms for you, and then if you have to come back, you have a map. But there is no in-level map for this. It's just like, figure it out, bitch. And
there's no map, no compass, no nothing. It's just like, okay.
I did
a couple
of times. Like, I just got turned around, and it's like, where am I? Oh, wait, I think I
did. It happens to me all the time. It happens to me all the time. But yeah, I need to, like, back, like, if I could go to a flag and swap to another zone, like, warp to another zone, and then just go back and explore that as an over-leveled character and find everything and, you know, level up and stuff, like, I'm back, baby. But, like, yeah, if I have to trek across multiple zones, it's going to piss me off.
Yeah, and the you do get a mode of transportation.
Which is awesome.
Yeah, like it's a really cool mode of transportation, and it upgrades over time. Like, you'll get upgrades. So, like, oh, like, at first you can only, it's like a land vehicle. Then it can go into the water, and it becomes kind of like a boat thing. And eventually you'll be able to fly, and, like, there's like, I think, two other upgrades for it as well. But that thing's not super fast. Like, it's faster than you just running, but it's not super fast. You need to, like, travel all the way back to, like, the early zones, like,
a little bit.
Have you done any of the gestural beaches?
I remember the gestural area. What do you mean by beaches?
So there's the gestural village, which is, like, it's a story bit.
I got lost in,
after you get the mode of transportation, on the ground, Esqui can kind of take out these, like, coal block. Like, you can't walk over it as a...
Yeah, once you get the mount, you can crash
through. Yeah, but once you get it, you can crush through it. So, like, right near there, there's the first Esqui beach. And so you go there, and you'll go in. It's like a normal level. And... it is like this bananas platforming segment.
I don't think so. I don't think, like, I did that.
Just imagine, like, you took a bunch of assets and made a platforming course. Like, an insane one, too. Like, where shit's, like, chairs are floating in the air, and, like, that's a platform. and like, there's not... The reward for doing it isn't great. But I've now found a second gestural beach, and I'm trying to complete that one. The rewards for them are bathing suits, which are stupid, because, like, the kind of the tone of this game is very dour. Like, it's very death focused. Like, having your characters run around in bikinis is fucking weird.
I'm going to do it.
but the platforming is so weird. Just to have it, and it's like, it's challenging. Like, it's actually pretty tough. They have, like, moving platforms, things that spin, you have to time your jumps on things. Like, it's actually pretty neat. There's just this weird thing that doesn't really fit with the rest of the game. It's just thrown in there on the side, and your reward is, like, stupid bathing suits. But
also, some things I caught in the last week that I did not know going in. And it makes this even more impressive is, like, I guess the studio is, like, 30 people or something like that. Like, this is a pretty small studio that made this game.
Yes and no. Like, yes, the studio is small, but evidently, if, once you hit credits, there are like close to
a billion people
working on this game. So they outsourced a bunch of stuff. Like,
okay,
they outsourced like a bunch of artwork and some programming and some music stuff, and like the people that put it together is like a small team of 30, but they like, you know, they
yeah, if you're using all these, if you're outsourcing all these, I guess maybe less impressive, but still
it's neat. Like
it's a yeah, yeah.
And it's pretty high quality. Like it's
very, it's, I think the game was very high quality. I think it's great. And someone told me, and I didn't look into this, I meant to, but I did not, that like the guy that's doing the music was like a music teacher or something. And I was just like, what the fuck? This is like some of the best music I've ever heard in a video game ever. Well, and if it's just some like humble guy, like that's cool.
Well, I think it's one of the things kind of with the same, the 30 people where, you know, the fact isn't as, but yeah, it was kind of, because I think they were also mentioning it was like one of the composers or somebody who helped compose it, they found on SoundCloud. So that's kind of nifty that like they were like, oh, this sounds like it will fit.
Yeah, I mean,
came around it and stuff. It wasn't like one person. But no, that again, it's amazing that it is a game that kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, not that it came out of nowhere. We've known
it's
about it.
Kind of, yeah.
And it's like it's going to be one of the stories of this year because it feels like, and you know, maybe they'll come on and say something different. This is not necessarily a AAA title in terms of budget, but from all reviews and impressions I've gotten, it does seem like it's a very, it's kind of like Baldur's Gate 3 of this year, where it's not a huge studio. It is a game that is a passion project of the people who made it. And it pushes a genre forward a bit. I'm not getting into the whole JRPG conversation. That seems to be very toxic ground right now. But it does, you know, it has gotten people into the genre who may not typically be into the genre or who are as invested into certain aesthetics.
I am glad for that. I do think, like, people going, like, oh, this is the first time, and yet, like, everything in this game is either taken inspiration or fully lifted from other games that have come before it. Like,
yeah, but it's rad.
It's all really well put together. It's just, like, none of it is like, oh my god, this is like the first time this has ever happened. It's like, yeah, they've taken bits and pieces from all these other games that they love, and they clearly love, and like this is like kind of a you know, a love letter to those games, but it's batty that like people are like, oh man, this is like, this is insane. Like nothing's ever been like this. Like, man, like stuff like this.
More games.
Like, I think people were like, oh, the reactive battle time. Like nobody's ever done this. I mean, like this stuff has been around since,
I mean,
you know, Super Mario RPG.
I was going to say Mario RPGs do the same thing, but it's like,
yeah,
I clearly see that it takes inspiration for that, but I just love, and it's funny because it's like one of the things that like is making the game hard for me now, but I love that it leans into that. Like it's almost like a rhythm game at points where you're just like in the middle of a battle, you get in the zone, you're just like, bam, I 1, 2, 3, 4, like you're counting in your head when you hit the button, like, you know what I mean.
And it gets to a point where like enemies they're attacking you like 6 or 7 times in a turn.
Yeah, and you start to know, you have to know the beat, and then they'll vary it. Like they'll do variations near the end. Like they'll do a longer attack, or you have to be, like if you hit it too soon, you're like, "Fuck, now they're gonna hit me because I hit it too soon."
I still haven't found a. I think you said last week you were like, "It's a sound," but like, I don't know. Like, maybe I'm just not hearing it.
Really? Oh, wow. Yeah, there's definitely, like when they're doing a wind-up, something will be like, when the hit starts or something, that's when they hit the button. Like, yeah, dude, like, they do it for sure all the time. But, like, it's just also just getting the rhythm of what they're doing. But there's usually a sound cue letting you know when it's time to dodge.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't, I don't know if it's a maybe it's
a maybe I'm insane, but like I'm going by sounds sometimes.
Because like I'm like you know first time out with a battle, like I'm not hitting it. Like maybe I'll hit a couple dodges or something. I'm certainly not hitting parries. Because the parry window is way smaller than the dodge window. But you know, as it's going, I'm learning the animations and I'm learning like, all right, like this guy, there's this one guy, he's shaped like a lamp and he has a big stick and he like comes and he'll swing it around and then he does like another quick swing around. So like the first time out it was like, all right, I could dodge the first one, but I'm still getting hit by the second one. So it's like press, give it a beat, press. Now he's gonna come down with an overhead attack, press, and then he's like, gonna do a big wind up overhead attack, and then you wait a beat, press. Like
I swear some of that will vine though with like when you start to hear the whooshing sound, when like he does a huge, they do huge wind ups, right? But then when you start to hear the whoosh, that's when you get a perfect dodge. Like maybe I was saying, because I have not watched any videos on this, I'm just inferring it from my own playing of the game. But I feel like that's part of it is listening to the music. Or not just the music, but the sound effects.
That's the sound effect, yeah. It could be. I just might not be picking
up. But the whole thing starts to feel musical. Like once you understand a pattern of an enemy, it's musical. It's done in, you know, there's timing to it. You know what I mean?
We'll say, I think that maybe, so once you get to the second act, they add in, so in the first act, you learn to dodge. And then pretty quickly after that, you learn to parry. And those are kind of the two things you can do early in like the first battles. And I think it's like after the second zone, you learn to like enemies will attack your feet so you can jump above them.
Yeah. If you see like a golden flash.
Yeah. And that
then you have to jump.
Yeah. It's like,
yeah. And
it says they'll flash that way. You jump and then you press the right trigger to parry.
I'm better at that than regular parrying, but what I'm better at than both of them, like I'm actually kind of okay at the gradient parrying, which I'm sure you're probably gonna get to. Like the whole screen will go black or white, and then you have to like hold the trigger.
You get to the second area, and they introduce this thing called gradient attacks, or well, they don't introduce the attacks right away, but gradient parrying, and yeah, like these enemies will go into like sepia black and white tone type attack, and then you now have a fourth kind of reactive, but like,
and it's a huge parry. Like if you do it, like you're gonna take a huge chunk off of them. And it's easier to do. I think it's easier to do than a regular parry.
And if you miss it, like it is worse than regular parry too, because like you'll take a hit for like 800, 900 damage, and it can wipe out like one of your characters.
Yeah.
If you miss it. I think maybe they're just layering a little bit on. Like
that's what I'm saying. Like
that seems like a lot. Like the more you guys talk about it, the more I'm like, you know, I don't really think
there's a lot going on.
I think all the systems are cool. I think all the systems are cool, but I think they really push the challenge of it. That like, because I'm saying like where I'm at, it's just like I can't hurt anybody because like I hate like turn-based battling where like I can't even like touch the person because they have so many shields on. It's like, what the fuck? I almost feel like I don't have the right luminas on, something to negate them. Like,
so but, when there's like one guy that if you attack, like he has like these little orbs that fly around them, and if you attack the orbs, it actually throws shields on everybody. So like it'll do damage to him.
Yeah,
but it throws shields on all the other enemies on the battlefield. It's like, wow, no, what am I doing? there's just a lot going on in it, and combat wise, like while it's really cool, it's very, you have to be engaged with it at all times. Like you're not, this isn't going to be Final Fantasy VII where you're just like pressing
it. Yeah. Back. Well, yeah, it's like, you know, part of the appeal of a turn-based RPG is that you can just kind of chill. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, no, this is not a chill JRPG.
Yeah, but like, I don't know. It kind of gives me both because I love like, you know, when it's my turn to pick what to do, I get to like stop for a minute, take a hit off my joint, whatever. Like, You know what I'm saying? Like, it kind of mixes it up. But, like, yeah, you really got to be, like... If you're unable to do, like, dodging and stuff, you're fucked. Like, you're just going to die. Like, there's no way around it. But I don't think it's, like, impossible. I think most people can play this. Like, it just gets pretty hard.
So I watched two videos on it this week. Guy we both watch occasionally, he does RPG stuff, Mortismal. He did his review last week of this, and he kind of said same thing. Like, you know, it's very reactive. You have to be involved in it. He said turning it down to easy doesn't seem to actually make it easier. It just makes the windows, like, to the dodging windows and the parry windows.
Yeah, that's what I was saying last week.
Yeah,
it's still actually easier or not. I'm on easy, dude. I'm saying it's getting too hard, so I'm not, you know.
And then the Gymquisition this week had their video was on this, and it was basically about how she is not good at it at all, like just just bad, so I'm not sure everybody can play it because she was waving the white flag on that one. But
I don't know.
I'm having a good time with it.
I think it's totally doable.
I would say play through the first act if you guys have a chance.
Yeah,
I
think like you gotta play like the first act of this game. Like the later parts of the first act are just so incredible. Like. Some of the best games, some of the best gameplay I've had in years.
Really cool battles, really good music. A shocking end to that as well. I would say it's on par with, if you guys know anything about Final Fantasy VII, the Aerith reveal from that.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Really? Oh, no.
It's kind pretty of like, great. You don't see it coming. I mean, now that I'm telling you, you'll be like, "Oh, I know something."
Now I'm gonna be waiting for it if I keep playing.
Yeah. But it's pretty. Like I was like, "Holy shit, they did that!" I was not expecting that to happen. You know, just like 8 hours into the game. but yeah, good stuff there. So Jeff and I will continue playing Expedition 33. Earl, have you continued playing Blueprint?
Not as much, but I did start a game that I wanted to, I mean, you folks have talked about it, but South of Midnight?
Yeah.
I think we were
never heard that. Of it.
I think we were discussing it last week. I wanted to start that before I paid Kid because it was already downloaded. Might as well play one of these games I download. I guess for the next 2 days where I have Game Pass. So positive. A gorgeous game. I think I've seen the most recent show they had at the I forget what Xbox calls their things, but their developer direct.
Yeah.
So I don't know how it went over my head that the animation, the cutscenes are kind of the stop motion animation thing. That's really fun, really cool. I like the storybook, the setting, the narrator who you do meet. I think gorgeous game. I think the music is fantastic, utterly fantastic. That first, I don't want to say boss battle, but that first time like you get like an actual vocal song when you're climbing up that tree, just had, I'm assuming it was supposed to make me laugh. But just like them recapping like their first kind of story beat in the game in the most absurd song ever. I'm just like, this is fantastic. This is great. And then I've gotten a few more songs since then. I think the platforming and traverse is actually a ton of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I think you get a lot of moves, and that's really nifty, and they make it works really well. My biggest qualm, and I think this is the same qualm you folks shared, combat kind of is there. It is not the most compelling thing in the world. It is, I mean, so that's a Bayonetta, essentially. It is, you go into tiny arenas, and I do love that it's not random or anything. So I do love, like, in the distance, like, oh, there's a giant green orb and a giant black thing. I guess I'm going to have combat coming up. Yep. Let me prepare for that. Every once in a while, they do try to trick you, like, oh, you're going to jump into it. I'm like, yeah, I can still see the orbs on the ground. I know it's going to happen. Like, I don't understand. I don't understand why they don't spawn that in after the mission, the fight starts.
So what I will say to you about the combat, Earl, and I don't know if Tony or Jeff agree with this, but early on, it's not as engaging. You will, as you upgrade your skills and powers, it does become more fun as she can do more. Like, you know, with you being able to do more powerful attacks and dodge twice, and I think combat becomes better. Never becomes great, but I think it becomes more fun, at least, until you get to the final boss. But
okay. Oh, okay. That was my second and third qualm. The second one is, I don't know, how do I phrase it? It's weird that right now I'm outpacing the game's upgrades. I think right now I have like something like 200 yarn or whatever it's called. Floof. But I have nothing to upgrade.
Yep. Yeah, you will be able to, I think, upgrade everything and you'll still have floof.
Okay, that's what I figured, but it's just so weird that you would think they'd pace it a bit better where was it like you think, oh, I was thinking like, oh man, I have to like be careful, and I'm like, no, okay, now because I've gotten I'm assuming her four main moves, and each of those have been upgraded once, and then I think her skill tree, I think it's four of them that's upgraded, and then like nothing's open yet, so I assume there's a story mission later on that will open up other upgrades for those things. But I was looking at my proof, and I think I'm in chapter 5 or 6. And I am, I guess, minor spoilers. I got the last power-up, which ties back to the beginning of the game. Again, I don't know if it's the last power-up, but again, the four triggers and show the buttons are used. So I don't know what else you'd put stuff on.
Yeah, no. You got the stuffed animal?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes, minor spoilers, but yes, you get, I forgot what their name is, but...
Crouton.
Yeah, Crouton. Yeah, I think that's the fifth one, and yes, as you progress, like, level 3 and level 4 will open up for upgrades.
Okay.
Which is silly, like, I think it would have been better if you could have just upgraded all the way through, but I guess they want to keep her somewhat weak.
And I get, it's just weird because then you would think you'd back row the truth so that I assume part of it is they want you, if you miss them, to be able to do it. But it's now, I'm sure I've missed a couple of them by now, or some that I just didn't know how to get.
Yeah, if you go to the menu, you can kind of like see the chapter select and you can see how many.
Oh, okay. I will look into that.
It'll tell you if you're missing floof, it'll tell you if you're missing
the health ones,
yeah.
And then the lore and stuff that you'll knock.
I don't know if it tells you about the lore.
Okay. The other one, and again, it's one of those things where she has the Nathan Drake syndrome, but I actually like, because I like Hazel as a character, I don't mind it. I mean, I like Drake, but at some point it is kind of ridiculous that he's talking to himself about everything. And I do like that, you know, that you get to run into these very colorful characters here and there. The other one, and this is not really a gripe, this is just maybe how I play the game, because each chapter so far, well, not each chapter, but like the main mission structure seems to be, you go to an area, you find these things, fill up the bottles, and when you fill up the bottles, you then engage in some type of chase sequence. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy the chase sequence. I just never look behind me, so I don't even know what's chasing me.
It's just like a shadowy thing.
Okay. Because I like the way the game presents it. I'm like, I don't even want to stop and turn around. It seems like it's just a time, not a time thing. But
so that way. Spoilers for the end. That what's chasing you is the final boss.
That I'm not surprised by. I mean, the way they set it up. But I, what happened the first time, I'm like, oh, okay, this is going to be a boss. Oh, okay. That's not the boss battle. And then there wasn't, I mean, I could be wrong. I don't think there's been a boss encounter for me yet. I'm assuming the first boss, based off of the build-up and everything, is going to be Two-Toed Todd. Whatever. Yeah,
the alligator.
Two-Toed Tom.
Yeah. Yes. The alligator. I assume he's the first boss.
Yes, there's four bosses in the game. That's the first one.
Yes. Also, just a really funny thing, that one of the obstacles in the level is essentially, I mean, not essentially, it is brain shit. That was just a really dumb but funny. I love the setting. I love how just very Southern USA this game is. And it's just, like, it's been a delight. I absolutely adore Hazel. I think, I don't know if I put her on this character of the year yet, but I definitely put Benji's song, or at least the soundtrack for this game, on the soundtrack of 2025, just because I love the folksy music, I love the vocal music so far. It's been so great, and I hope it keeps it up for the rest of the game. Like I said, I'm having an absolute blast with it. And I know there's really a way to turn off combat or, you know, just focus on the story. I do want to do the combat. And again, some of it's not bad. Okay, now that I have Crouton, like, he can take over certain enemies for a little bit of time. And that's kind of fun to see. Except sometimes we'll both attack the same enemy. And if you hit them, knock Crouton out, and then it becomes like you mess up your strategy. But I do enjoy it. I'm having fun with it. I'm hoping to, you know, wrap it up. The other reason I started it, it's not, from what I hear, it's not a long game. It's about 10 hours, I assume. I'm at, because of chapter 5 or 6, I assume it goes to like 12 or 13 or something like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right. It's like 13 or 4. I think it goes to 14, but I think as Tony and I said, like, the last chapter is,
you just, it's kind not of a walk. Chapter. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I'm glad you're liking it. That's fun. Hope you finish it while you still have Game Pass.
Yeah, like I said, I will get Game Pass again. I'm being cheap. I don't want to. Like, it's what, $20 a month? $30 a month?
21.
Yeah.
I think it's 21, 22.
I'd rather just, you know, buy a bunch of Core, I think that's what it's called. Because you can usually find those codes cheaper, get 3 years of that or something, and then do like a conversion for Game Pass for a month and call it a day.
Yeah, I think they did GIMP the upgrade for that. Like, it used to be a better
ratio. Yeah, I mean, it used to be 1-to-1, and that was fantastic. But I think, again, the thing is, I don't know. I think last I heard, it was 3-to-2, but somebody mentioned recently it might be 2-to-1. So that would mean, like, I think 3 years would get you a year and a half, versus I think it would have given you 19, no, it would have given you 20-something months before.
Which is a little bit more than a year and a half, but.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll figure it out.
All right. Tony, you play anything?
So I have played a number of I played a ton of Assassin's Creed, but I have talked a lot about that. I did try the remaster of Oblivion.
Mm-hmm.
After, you know, Jeff spoke so highly of it last week, I, you know, downloaded it on my PC and started playing on Friday. Unbeknownst to me, that was the same day that Bethesda released a patch that broke the game on PC, specifically in the Windows Store. So I played the game for 2 hours, I'm watching like the opening cutscene, and I'm like seeing all these like weird stutters, and like the game looks like shit. I'm like, this is the remaster, the stunning, awesomely looking thing that Jeff was talking about. Like, I played for like an hour and a half. I'm like, I have to stop. This game is literally like the frame rate is giving me a headache. So they fixed it though. I think they fixed it on Monday. They released a fix. So I started playing it again, and it's Oblivion back again. Unlike Jeff, I played Skyrim last year, so I kind of have that as a frame of reference, like a really close one. And it's been a long time since I played Oblivion, but you kind of see the warts a lot more. See how many like quality of life things they've added to Skyrim over time that are kind of missing from Oblivion. Having to like open each individual thing to see what's in it. Whereas in Skyrim, if you mouse over it, you can tell like, oh, this has these things in it, so I don't need to open that jar or whatever it happens to be. You also get a sense of like how small all the areas are. Because obviously Oblivion, super old game. So, you know, to make it work, like locations are smaller and there's more of them. So you got like going through like a large building, you're like, you open a door and you load, and then you go into the room, and then you go through the room into the next room, and you get another loading screen. It's just kind of, the game feels super old. It feels really, really old. Like it's a really faithful recreation. Like I still have my guide from my guidebook from when I played Oblivion the first time around. And like everything in there is still like, it's all accurate. It all still works. It's great. That's awesome. I don't know how long I'm going to play this game because it just feels dated.
Really? I mean, it feels dated, but I think there's little fun to playing in that world.
Oh, it's certainly fun. It's just like, I played Skyrim last year. I also played Fallout. Like, it's hard to have played those games and then have this one that's clearly not as good as those games, like, too soon after.
I'd rather play this than some of the newer ones, to be honest with you. But like, I can see what you're saying. I can.
Yeah.
But it's been really fun for me to like, I've been like, when I don't know what to do, Exposition 33 anymore, I just go into that and like, I'll go into a town and start talking to random people, hoping to find a quest and go down like a quest line, and I'm having fun with that.
I'd forgotten that like each town has their own fighters guild and their own mages guild. Like,
yeah.
Because when you play Skyrim and you're like the guild is in one place in one town in one corner of the empire.
I didn't even realize that. Yeah.
Yeah. My character, I'm kind of focusing on magic, and so the first thing I did was I'm gonna go to the mages guild in the big city, and they won't let you in. Like, you have to go get, like, you have to go to every single town in Skyrim, to the Mages Guild there, and, like, complete a quest for them before they let you in.
Yeah,
I have forgotten about that.
Every one of the, like, quest lines like that, like, have, like, some roadblocks, and so, like, that's something I'm bumping up against, too. Like, I'm also trying to do magic, and I don't think I've gotten anywhere in that, but, the other one, like, say, like, the Dark Brotherhood. I was, like, fourth kill of the Dark Brotherhood, and then it was, like, you know, lockpick your way to this guy's house, and I just couldn't do it. So, I'm like, I guess I'll come back to that later. So, that's happened to me a lot. But, I'm assuming, like, a lot of that is intended.
I'd forgotten. I'd also forgotten about that lockpicking mechanic, which is god awful.
I don't get it. I just do the auto. I do the auto every time because I do not understand what I'm doing. Like, it's not like the lockpicking in their later games is so much easier to get. Like,
it's also like actually feeling like you're picking a lock. This is just like,
yeah,
Let me push the thing up and hope it stays, and then push up the next thing up and hope it. On the other hand, I make fun of this game, which is like the game that made the Xbox 360 for me when I first got it. And like I played obsessively, and I'm sure I play more of this. I'm not gonna leave it behind. Like I'm committed, but it's more appealing to me than Expedition 33. Sorry, guy.
Yeah, you haven't said much more about that game other than you found the beginning boring. I'm telling you, it's way better.
I'm sure. I'm not a big JRPG guy. I don't.
I'm not either.
It's fine.
Maybe you come back to it.
Maybe.
There's so many games currently.
Assassin's Creed first. I think Assassin's Creed is the number one priority.
Yeah, you gotta kill all the Shinbukfu.
I'm getting close. I only have 3 left.
I should hop back into that and kill. I think I have 4, so I should probably just like mainline it.
Yeah,
finish it off. But I tried to get Earl to talk about Blueprints because I started that this past week, and I don't know how much I'm gonna play of that game.
Oh no.
I don't even want to say it's fine. Like it is, it's fine. It's just I don't think I like the puzzle structure to it. Mostly because it is roguelike and it's so RNG heavy. Like it's so random to what rooms you're gonna get. So to recap, what Blueprints is, the puzzle game. Where you are trying to find the 46th room in a 45-room mansion. And every door you open creates one of 3 different rooms. And so you're building yourself to the antechamber, and then I don't know, but I assume you get into the antechamber, and then you have to figure your way into the 46th room. You have a certain amount of steps you can take every day. I think it's 50, which you can get more by like eating fruit or buying certain rooms or like drafting certain rooms. Like a bedroom might give you plus 10 steps, so you can get yourself extra steps. But much like Earl, you can also block yourself out of a run real quickly. Like if you get some bad draws, you can make it so like you might only have 6 rooms and like you can't go anywhere else because all the doors are now blocked off. I think there's some cool puzzles in there. I got, what is it, the billiards room. So there's like a dartboard, and the dartboard has like a mathematics puzzle that it's also randomized, so it'll change every time you come in. But if you ever played darts, I believe it's like 1 to 20 are the numbers on there. And there's different triangles on each of those numbers. So there'll be different colors that'll light up. So let's say 12 lights up and it'll have, it's green. So then you click on something and it'll bring up the next puzzle. And so it'll be 1 and 3. Light up as green, and green is addition. So the answer to it will be 4, but then you'll get like a second triangle in closer to the bullseye, and that one's yellow, and the one on the outside is red, and it'll be 2 different numbers. So you have to like add the 2 numbers together, and then multiply. Or subtract, or however it is, like the colors mean different things. So you're just like figuring out this math puzzle until you get to the end, and then it'll unlock, and there's like keys or something in there. There's another one in the parlor where I believe it's like there's 3 boxes, and you have to find the one that has
the coin.
There's like a gems or coins in it.
Yeah, that's just a logic puzzle. Yes, and I do appreciate that, but yes, to your point, the fact that you solve it one day, it's not that you now have the solution. You have an idea of it, it's a different powder the next day, and yep. I hear like the billiard room in particular, I hear it gets harder and harder each time you go. People have said there are ways to around like the RNG, not around the RNG, but like you get this and that. But it's one of those things where I think there's a patience needed early on, to really want and invest time into it. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but I think it was a bad month for it in that there were so many other games that came out. I do want to get back to it, but like the initial frustrations, and again, this happens with roguelikes. I mean, intention you're supposed to feel in roguelikes the first time, but you know, like the problem is like with this, the first time could be 10 minutes, it could be an hour. And I think inevitably you end up boxing yourself in because you don't you don't understand the mechanics of like the layouts yet.
Yep. Yeah. So like I think you mentioned like, but there's only depending upon where you are in the house, like certain rooms will appear or won't appear. Like the garage will only appear on the edge of the house. But the terrorists will only appear on the edge of the house. So, like, I think it's five rows of nine down. So it's like it's a 9x5 grid.
Yeah, it's 45 because you're trying to find the 46th room.
So that makes sense. Not. So yeah, so you have it. It's this grid of 45 rooms, that possible rooms, and. So like you start in the middle of the first row and the third column, and you can like move forward, left or right. And you can lock yourself out really quickly if you make a bad choice, or if you don't find the resources that are needed to, cause like some rooms are locked. So you'll need a key. So if you haven't found a key, like, and you draft a room that the next door to open requires a key. If you don't have one, you've locked yourself out. There's also rooms that require gems to craft. So if you don't have any gems, you can lock yourself out. I assume that as you play, like you're going to find out, like, you know, these are going to come around more frequently. They're always going to have gems and keys and coins. And I'm only five, like every run is a day. So I'm only 5 days in. It's just like, I had a really good run on the third day. I got all the way to the antechamber, but it was just like a wall. It's like, I couldn't figure out how to get into it. It's like, well, what am I missing? I've read everything up to this. And I'm not saying like you should be able to beat it on the third run. It's just, I don't know what I'm missing. And there's not a lot of stuff in the rooms that I...
Yes, and that's the other thing. Even, again, I've not read solutions and stuff, but I've read impressions, and people are like, even once you get into the antechamber, that's not how you beat the game. And then that's the thing. It's like, oh, there's more and more and more. And again, it's like, there does seem to be a payoff for investment, but how much do you want to invest is the problem.
I will say, really good, like, visually, it's a really cool-looking game. Like, it has, like, this, it's like almost like a cel-shaded kind of look to it. But very, like, hand-drawn, painterly kind of thing. It's very neat-looking. But, yeah, I don't know. I'll probably, because right now a run is only taking me, you know, 10, 20 minutes or so. So maybe I just poke at it here and there, a run maybe every day or every other day until I get bored of it. But I just wish that I knew more what I'm looking for. It just really seems random in the early going. It's like, I don't know how to progress here in the proper way. I just seem like I'm randomly getting rooms and I'm randomly putting them together. I don't know.
Yeah, eventually some rooms start. Yeah, I gotta get back. Well, I want to give it more of a chance because, again, it does seem to be in the conversation for a lot of people in terms of like their favorite game of the year. So, but granted, if it's just you and I, nobody here seems to be in, as in love with it. We'll see.
I mean, if you were to come out of it and go, yeah, that's really great, maybe I put more time into it. I will probably put a little bit more time into it as it is. It's free on everything. Well, not on everything, but if you have PlayStation Plus or Game Pass, it's on both. So easy to go try, at the very least. Jeff, you play anything else?
I think Jeff was on break.
He had come back to talk about it.
I said no. Sorry. I was muted. I was talking the whole time, guys.
No. It's like, oh no, Jeff fell asleep on us. I think we're 2 weeks away from Doom. I think that's the next big release. So before we go, I do have the Game of the Year nominations open. And one of our awards is Game Pass Game of the Month. I'm assuming based on our talk here that Clair Obscur Expedition 33 would be the choice. We could also throw in Oblivion if Tony feels highly about it. Didn't seem like it, but
fine. Twice. That was April as well.
Yeah. But circling back to March, like the games that were there, not much. I don't know if any of us played any of them. Jeff did play Atomfall. I don't know if he feels.
I mean, if that was the game, when did South of Midnight come out?
Oh, that's a good also question.
April, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was April was.
Yeah, April is crazy, but it easily goes to Expedition 33 for me. Like, I think that game is just one of the best games lately.
I'm willing to throw South of Midnight in there as well, even though it's that would be two for the month. But all right, well, I'll write that in there. I also added in Expedition 33 and South. I think somebody already added South of Midnight for best soundtrack score. But
oh, that was
just added. I decided
already beat.
Expedition 33 has a very good soundtrack.
Yeah.
Well, I have to see when I play it.
Yeah.
Jeff could probably provide you some YouTube videos of just the music if you don't.
It's so good. Yeah.
There's some really good battle themes and area themes in that game.
Yep.
Yes, I heard. I just heard impressions real quick. Again, when I was reading up on the music, like people were like, "It's happy that it's actually music." And it's fair. I think a lot of games have kind of gone more for like the atmospheric and ambient noises over like straight up like Mario music, essentially.
Yeah, no, it's like full themes. They're very good.
It is very clear that this team loves old school Final Fantasy.
Loves
Final
everything, Trigger, yeah.
Shadow Hearts, Paper Mario, Super Mario RPG, that stuff. Legend of Dragoon. Like, they've taken all of these inspirations and kind of melded them into something here. So, music in Final Fantasy is a huge thing, especially back in the PlayStation era where these people clearly are in love with, and they're pulling that forward in this game. I do love the map, the just having like a weird overworld map. Again, it's kind of it's dumb.
Yeah, it takes a while to get there. Yeah,
it does. Once you get there, it's neat to have. It's also super dumb to see your party kind of running around, and because everything is like oversized, including your characters, but it's goofy, but a good time. All right, well, we'll be back next week with probably more Expedition 33, maybe more Oblivion if Tony keeps playing it. Maybe he'll kill all the people in Assassin's Creed and be done with it.
I'm working on it right now.
Yeah,
kill some more people.
Maybe Earl gets back to Blueprints or finishes up South of Midnight. We'll have a bunch of stuff, and hopefully no more games media will shut down. And
they will.
Hopefully PlayStation doesn't say, hey, we're also raising our prices in the U.S.
They will.
It's coming. Ghost of Tsushima is going to be $80, isn't it? Or not Ghost. Sure. Ghost of Yotai.
It's going to be very interesting because it is going to start creating the haves and have nots. Like, what can you face for $80? Like Mario Kart, Zelda, Gears of War, Halo, Grand Theft Auto. Auto, Assassin's Creed, but like, are you gonna buy Madden for $80 every year?
No,
absolutely. I will buy Madden. If I buy Madden, it'll be on a steep discount on Black Friday. Otherwise, I'll wait till Super Bowl weekend and just play it on Game Pass.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be interesting to see how that shapes out. So. But hopefully no bad news in the next week. Only good stuff.
Sure. We'll go with that.
Fingers crossed, right?
I don't have that many fingers.
We just need two. We just need two fingers, Toby. We just need to cross two of them. All right. Jeff, say goodnight.
Yeah, good night.